Old Men, Tattered Jackets, and Smelly Cars, published in The Fur Taker, April 2002. This was the first story I ever wrote, and quite possibly still my favorite. It covers trapping lessons I learned from my grandfather. Though he was a crotchety old bugger, Pop dearly loved to trap and talk about it. And this story relates that love, and for just a short while brings the old man right back to me and the rest of us. I can well remember the early days of October, when my brother and I were sent out to gather walnuts for dyeing the traps. Dad and Pop would have the entire collection of traps spread out on a sheet of plywood that was placed on two sawhorses. I can still see them standing in the field under the big walnut tree. They each had a small file, two screwdrivers, and a wrench. They would file a pan notch to square and level, then adjust the pan tension to their liking, making sure the pans were set flat and level before they were tossed into the dyeing pot. I can still smell the odor of the dye, and to this day, it's one of the smells of fall and trapping to me. After the traps were done dyeing, they were hung to dry. While the wax was put on the melt, I can still hear the crackling of the wax as the traps were placed in it. They were hung to dry. Even coon traps were dyed in wax. The old man, I always called Pop, seeing everybody else did too, was my paternal grandfather. He was ornery, opinionated, gruff, outspoken, and generally an old cuss. It was at his house my first memories of trapping occur. I was 4 or younger, and in the basement watching Pop do something with traps. I remember it was snowing like the devil outside, and my dad had gone to check Pop's traps for him. Dad came back in the basement door carrying 2 beautiful red foxes dusted in snow. Pop told my dad he had over-dispatched the foxes. Pop always had something to say. I remember spending the weekends at my grandparents' house during the trapping season, waiting for Pop to get done running his line so I could go with him down to Wilson's, the woodlot behind the house. I was too little to be able to keep up with him on the big lines yet, so I had to wait. He'd come home, go to the bathroom, have 2 cups of coffee. Then when he was done, we would put on our boots and our coats and head off into the woods. I remember some of the lessons he taught me back then. We used to walk down an abandoned railroad track to get to the sets. I always walked too close behind him and got smacked with the branches and briars. He told me time and again to make sure I walked at least 4 ties behind him, and that way I wouldn't get hit with branches, but I always seemed to forget. I remember asking questions the kids like to ask is, why is that set there? Where do coons sleep? And stuff like that. Sometimes he would answer my questions, and other times he would just grunt. And seeing if I made my questions specific to trapping, I could get a better answer. He told me he made the sets there because 2 streams came together, and that way coons following either stream had a chance of getting caught. He showed me how to make the cubbies using flat stones in the creek. One of those cubbies is still there. It just needs to be remade. He showed me how to read coon and fox tracks on the sandbars. I can still see him in his trapping outfit, the tattered blue stocking cap, the dirty-smelling battered hunting coat, and one of his numerous golfing sweaters. He called them that because they had at least 18 holes. Pop never wore gloves while trapping coons, handling a rotten fish he loved to use for bait. Maybe this coincided with his high possum catches, and a lure with his bare hands, leaving him with a unique odor during trapping season. However, if his jacket and coat were slightly odorous, his vehicles were obnoxious. He had an old blue station wagon he used for trapping, and kept a 5-gallon bucket of rotten fish in the floor in the back seat. Oh man, did that car reek. We used to joke that when that car was taken to the junkyard and crushed up, the block of metal would still smell like fish. 2 of the biggest lessons I learned for Pop were seeing ain't noticing, and observe, don't just look. The seeing ain't noticing lesson took place on a small stream. We got out and looked under the bridge. There's another trapper there, this being during the fur boom, at least 2 trappers worked around this bridge. As Pop had trapped this creek for the better part of 20 years, he was not about to let another person beat him out. Where can we put our sets? The others seem to have covered the best spots, I said to him. He looked at me and sort of smiled. Seeing ain't noticing, he said. He then went on to point out to me that the sandbar that ran just under the water and around the bridge and upstream. Notice anything different about that sandbar, he asked. Not really, except it seems to have some bumps going through it, I said. Right, but those bumps are where the coon were walking on the sandbar. Also, notice the sediment is slightly removed from the bar itself, he told me. We quickly put walkthrough sets on either side of the bridge at the edges of the sandbar, rigged to drowning wires to hide the catches. Another lesson was we were trapping about a mile from the house one morning when we stopped at a small creek and started looking for coon sign. I couldn't find any as the banks were thick with leaves. Pop asked me if I found anything. I told him I had not. He asked if I looked inside the culvert itself. I said I had, and he quickly told me I must be blind. I asked what he meant, and he showed me that inside the culvert about 2 feet were coon tracks. I had missed them because I was in a hurry and looking, not observing. He also pointed out to me that the leaves on one side of the culvert were slightly disturbed, showing where coons have been going through them, getting into the culvert. Looking ain't noticing. You need to pay attention to your surroundings. Notice a slight imprint, a half a track, the overturned rock, anything that could show an animal's been through, he quietly told me. And I've since become an observer more than a looker, and it really helps me find slight sign, especially mink. I could write a book on the memories I have running with traps of Pops, but I'll hit just 3 very good ones. One of the best ones I had, we were running traps one morning, a certain set we had in the culvert. I used to hop out and give them a thumbs up if we had anything, or get back in the truck if we didn't. We caught so many coons that year in that set, 12 or 13 it seems, that Pop used to just hand me the pistol and tell me to go take care of things while he waited in the truck. Hey, that was a big deal to an 11-year-old kid. I not only got to shoot his pistol, but also remake the set as well. It really wasn't anything special, just a coon trail coming out of the culvert on one side because the other side was deep water, narrowed down with a small hole in the bank. But I guess all the coons were using that side of the culvert that year because we sure caught a pile. Another great memory I have is why it's good to use a good hardwood drag for coon. I was about 7 or 8, and Pop and I went down to check on a coon set. When we got there, we could see the usual carnage of coon leaves when caught. I quickly saw that the coon had gnawed Pop's drag down to a mere pencil. Pop hurriedly dispatched the coon and observed the drag. It appeared that another few minutes, the coon would have gotten free. Pop tugged on a wire and it broke through the gnawed area easily. The last memory I mentioned was a crossing log set Pop had on a local stream. Man, I've tried crossing log all over the Pennsylvania and out here in Iowa, and I have never caught anything but squirrels. Pop loved them and used them wherever and whenever he found them. I remember we were checking sets before I had to go to school. I got to the log and saw the trap was missing and the wire leading down into the water. Hey, Pop, we got something, I yelled back as I started pulling out the wire. Imagine our surprise when I got the wire up and it held a drowned red fox. Pop was just as surprised as I was. I never seen anything like that again. Pop stopped trapping when I was 16 due to injuries. Although he still trapped any animals that tried to eat his chickens, he was always ready to give advice and criticism. If I told you you were doing a good job, then you wouldn't try to do a better job, he always say. I can still hear his voice, and my partner Arnold and I would roll up at the end of the day and throw out our catch on our front porch for inspection. He would always be sitting in the living room and could hear when we threw the catch on the front porch. He'd come out and look at our catch, and study it, and look at us and say, "That it?" He used to drive Arnold crazy. We'd roll up with 2 foxes, a couple of coons, and a possum or two, and Pop would come out and go, "That it?" What does he want from us? Arnold would mutter, half cursing under his breath. I had to explain that was Pop's way of saying we were doing pretty darn good. It finally took a season of 49 coons and 2 weeks for him to say we were good coon trappers, and 78 foxes in 6 weeks before he gave me the greatest compliment he ever gave. "You could write a book with your methods," he said. I damn near cried because he meant it. And he was telling me that in his eyes I was as good as he and my dad ever were, and probably a tad better. I can still recall Arnold saying, "The saddest day of my life will be when we pull up and throw our catch on the porch and Pop doesn't come out and say that it," and I wholeheartedly agreed. That sad day came in November 4th, 1998, one day after his 75th birthday. His funeral was on a Saturday morning. I made sure to stick his blue hat in the coffin with him. I know he won. Then after the services and the cemetery, I went and got my hip boots, grabbed my traps, and headed out. Some people probably ask how I could do that. Well, I'm sure that's just what Pop would have wanted me to do. Sometimes in my mind, I can still hear him say, "That it?" I always say, "Nope, not by a long shot, old man. Not by a long shot."